Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the largest segment of society, to those of you who have used your eyes to observe, your ears to listen, and your minds to consider, and have come to the conclusion that all of the world's religious, political, economic, and military institutions are corrupt, that they have all become counterproductive, if not even born that way. I am Yada. Our phone number, if you would like to participate in this discussion anytime over the next 2 hours, is 877-376-45. There are lots of problems in our world today. And make no mistake, Islam, which we frequently discuss since it is the cause of every war but one on the planet, and since it is responsible for 99% of all terrorist acts, it isn't the only bad apple. Christianity was born out of the evil that is the, or was, the Roman Empire. It's a wholly religious adaptation of Imperial Rome that Yahweh calls the beast. They have done everything in their power to corrupt Yahweh's message, to lead people astray for their own empowerment, for their own enrichment. And today there are over a billion people who are still victimized by this corrupt institution. Yesterday it was announced, the Vatican saying that it had accepted the resignation of a Kansas City, Missouri bishop. You see, in the St. Louis and Kansas City, Missouri era, Ferguson, there is evil beyond state institutions and beyond young boys run amok. You see, this bishop was convicted of sex abuse. Not of the actual act, but of something far worse, the cover-up. It is the crime that doesn't seem to get reported today, and it's just pervasive throughout our society. Those who cover up the atrocities being perpetrated by others. May I bring your attention to the Abominator? And in a moment we will switch to the topic that he's all about on, like a fly on manure today. When he speaks favorably of Islam, when he disassociates Islam from the terror that it has perpetrated around the world, he is covering up not only sexual abuse, because Muslims, as we know, kidnap little girls and turn them into sex slaves, and they do so by the thousands, but also he's covering up murder. And in the case of Roman Catholicism, it was decided decades ago when they didn't have the power that they used to have, where they could threaten governments. And by threatening governments, they could preclude any divestiture of their evil, of the malignant heart that beats underneath those black frocks of Roman Catholicism. And now that their ability to circle the wagons has been muted somewhat by politics, and that they're no longer in charge of politicians, they're being held accountable for their crimes. And covering up a crime like pedophilia is a serious criminal offense. And so, once again, the Roman Catholic Church, which decided, as I said, decades ago, that it would use its power to protect its reputation, to protect its ability to garner power and riches from the masses, by precluding people from knowing how evil they were, by knowing the full extent of the sexual abuse that was occurring within its ranks. And they deliberately and knowingly told priests, ordered them, with threat of excommunication if they did not obey, that the single most grievous sin was doing anything that would harm the credibility of the church. And that included protecting children from known pedophiles. In this case, the offensive bishop is an American. He oversaw, he hid, he covered up particularly horrifying stories of abuse. Bishop Robert Flynn's resignation will be seen as a key achievement for Pope Francis, who has said that his papacy would show more accountability for abuse. You know, if you want to show that you've got a pair, Pope, why didn't you excommunicate him? Why didn't you, when you came to power, immediately turn over all internal evidence, not only on him, but every bishop, every priest, every cardinal, including your predecessor and his predecessor? Why didn't you come clean? Why don't you give civil authorities around the world the book on sexual abuse that caused your predecessor to capitulate and resign? If people see the requested resignation of a man guilty of covering up sexual abuse as a victory for the Roman Catholic Church, you're desperate for victories. The Vatican announced the resignation of Flynn, who is 62 years old, in an unspecific and brief note in its daily bulletin. Oh boy, that a way to show that you're a protector of little children there, Pope. The Holy Father. What did Yosha say about calling men father? Don't do it. What makes him holy? There is a set apart spirit. There is no Holy Spirit. There is no holy associated with Yahweh. If you're designating yourself as special, then you are worthless in God's eyes, including this man. He accepted the resignation from the pastoral government of the Diocese of St. Joseph, Kansas City, Missouri, United States, presented to His Excellency Bishop Robert Flynn. His Excellency, this man stood by. Not only stood by, but actively created an environment where little boys could have their innocence ravaged. And he's an excellency? Perhaps our definition of what is excellent has changed. A diocesan bishop who has become less able to fulfill his office because of ill health or some other grave cause is earnestly requested to present his resignation from office. Oh, ill cause, health issue. You're not even willing to call pedophilia what it is. You're not even willing to admit the church's complicity. I mean, these people are scumbags. If you're one of the 1.2 billion people that shows an affinity for them, what in the hell is wrong with you? Why do you enable them? And they're absolutely scum. Or some grave cause. Oh, please, would you please resign because we think there may be a grave cause associated with you. Yeah, our credibility. It has been an honor and joy for me to serve here among so many good people of faith, Finn said in an emailed statement. Honor and joy. To enable the rape of little boys. Oh, that's so joyous. What in the world is wrong with people? I'm not talking about this moron. I know what's wrong with him. He's an advocate of Roman Catholicism. He stinks to high heaven. He has less value than the most menacing beast has ever tread this planet. But what's wrong with the rest of you? What's wrong with parents who send their children to Catholic school? What's wrong with parents who allow their children to serve as altar boys? What's wrong with parents who raise their children to be Roman Catholics? Do you hate God that much? Do you hate your children? Do you hate yourself? Is it the Stockholm Syndrome? I was abused in this way, so I'm going to abuse others. I'm going to see my abusers as merciful. Victims become victimizers in a twisted upheaval of conscience. You know, you don't have the same excuse that a Muslim has. Yeah, I'm sure. Well, Roman Catholicism is obviously false, and that it's every doctrine a lie, and that it's based almost entirely on the Babylonian religion. Just a complete crock. Islam is the dumbest religion ever conceived by humankind. Muhammad was a moron. And even though it would take a second-grade intelligence to distrust and walk away from Islam, it's very difficult to do. Because Islam, like the mafia, won't allow you to walk away. At least, not on your feet. You want to walk away from Islam, the Quran tells Muslims to kill you. And they will. It's what the Fourth Sarah says. Read it if you don't think so. Just like the mafia, you can leave dead, but not alive. But that excuse doesn't exist for Roman Catholics. You know, in Islam, they have an excuse. Their countries are so afraid of the truth that if you tell the truth in those countries, you'll be prosecuted, whipped, beaten to a pulp, and imprisoned for life if not killed. 100 lashes, sometimes 1,000 lashes for someone with the courage to tell the truth about Islam, to free Muslims from the horrible, malignant doctrine. But Roman Catholics, you don't have that excuse. Oh, sure. 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, but not today. It's becoming the ultimate holiday. I turned on the television to get my daily dose of news this morning during my workout, and the newscaster was wearing a green tie. His associate was wearing a green dress, and they said proudly, "Happy Earth Day." And then they cut to about 15 minutes of local stories where in our local schools here in the Central Coast, a place that I will have to endure for a grand total of about 10 more days. Unfortunately and fortunately, I'm making a stop midway across the country and really what appears to be the heartland of Roman Catholicism, and a place where Roman Catholic schools and the presence of the Roman Catholic Church are just absolutely sour the landscape. But this place is rife with Earth Day celebrations. Oh, yes. You know, in a school, you'd be run out of town if you celebrated Christmas. If you started now, Christmas is a pagan holiday. And mind you, I don't celebrate Christmas. I don't want Christmas celebrated. But if you did, you'd be run out of town. But you can celebrate Earth Day. Why? Because Earth Day is a replacement festival for Easter for the national religion, which is socialist secular humanism. Even the president flying to Florida. And you know his speech in Florida, his White House press corps, also wearing green ties in commemoration of Earth Day. His speech is going to say that climate change is the single greatest threat to humanity. I got news for you. The single greatest threat to humanity is the Abominator and his ilk. When he unleashed the fangs of Islam giving his speech talking about Islam being a great religion, how America has never been at war with Islam. This is the time for Islam to rise. When he did that, he ushered in World War III. It began with an Islamic Reformation in Tunisia, followed by Egypt. It then began in Syria, and then Libya, and then in Iraq, and then in Yemen, and then in the United Arab Emirates, and then in Nigeria, and on and on and on it went until 400,000 to 500,000 people were dead. Until the Christian population of Iraq, once 1.3 million people, was down to less than 200,000. Until the Christians and Zoroastrians had watched their little girls be turned into sex slaves. The Nigerians watching this as well. But he just didn't speak in favor of Islam and tell Muslims that this was their time to rise. But then he made certain that he not only armed them to the hilt, providing weapons to both sides of the Sunni-Shia conflict that he inspired. But he also neutered Israel so that Muslims for the first time could see their end game. They could see the ultimate destruction of Israel. And they're racing to that right now. He has provided 25 times more weapons to Israel's enemies than to Israel. He's undermined Israel at every possible occasion. He's even told Israel that he will no longer, as part of America, block Islamic advances against Israel and the United Nations. He has shunned the Israeli ambassador. He has shunned the Israeli prime minister. The most dangerous threat to the world today is the Obamanator and his ilk. He's reignited the Cold War. It's being fought now in the Ukraine. He's bankrupt America, such that there is no hope for any economic progress or recovery. He has firmly implanted socialist secular humanism, and now he's about a campaign which will be the primary campaign of the Torahless One to celebrate Earth Day. You see, Easter is a replacement for Pesach, Matzah, and Makkorim. It's the Christian counterfeit for that which is important to God, invitations to meet with Him to be called out of the world, invitations to read and recite His testimony. That is what Easter was created to do. Purely pagan, purely Babylonian, and yet over 2.5 billion people worldwide celebrate it. But you see, the Abominator can't, and his ilk, particularly the Torahless One, isn't going to tout Christianity. No, he's going to have socialist secular humanism as his religion, and therefore the most important holiday will be Earth Day, just as it is for this president. And he will demand, in fact, it will be your patriotic duty, no matter where you live around the globe, a borderless globe, one planet, one people, to celebrate not only Earth Day, but to make sacrifices for Mother Earth. She will be as God. That is our fate. It is our future. Watch it today on television. I have a confession to make. I made a mistake. You see, the problem in the Missouri Diocese of the Roman Catholic Church wasn't abuse of little boys. That's the normal modus operandi of Roman Catholicism, and you can see how I would have gone to that, and that it's 95 or more percent of the time, maybe it's even 99% of the time, that Roman Catholic priests engage in sexual activity with children it's homosexual activity. But that was not the case in this conviction of Bishop Flynn. You see, Bishop Flynn had a priest beneath him. The priest beneath him was Reverend Sean Radigan. And Reverend Sean Radigan was a charismatic parish priest who was taking pictures of naked little girls at the church. Yeah, his deal was when the girls changed clothes or did something associated with a school program, he had cameras, took naked pictures, had them on his computer. The computer was church property, and it went in for a repair. And when it went for a repair, the repairman noticed naked pictures of girls that were in their early teens and even younger. Turned it over, that information over to Bishop Flynn. Now, Bishop Flynn had a duty as an American citizen to turn that information over to police. Now he is aiding and abetting a crime when he doesn't turn it over. But not only doesn't he turn it over to police, he covers it up. He reassigns Radigan. And Radigan continues the behavior. And so when it was discovered that Bishop Flynn covered up an act of child sexual abuse, he was actually convicted. And he was convicted years ago. There are 300,000 signatures in the local community asking for his resignation. So I correct the story. I also want to correct the story on climate change, since the President of the United States is going to elevate Earth Day and climate change to the single greatest threat of humanity. It isn't. Today, Islam is the single greatest threat to humanity. Second to Islam would be the militarization of the world, particularly the United States, and the propensity of nations to use their militaries. May speak on that for a moment, since we've spoken of Islam. The president said today that that Iran providing arms for Shiite Muslims in Yemen is counterproductive, that it's a great threat to the stability of the region. And yet, the United States supervised and enabled the Saudi Arabians to fly bombers over Yemen. So one country is providing guns, the other is dropping bombs. But worse than that, where do you think the latest and greatest United States aircraft carrier and missile cruiser are today? Yeah. The Abominator sent them off the coast of Yemen. He says they're there because we're telling the Iranians that they can't provide arms for the Shiite Houthi fighters. And yet, we can provide arms for the Saudi Arabians. Why? Because, well, they supply us with oil. The Iranians don't. You want to tell me how the Iranians supplying small arms can exacerbate the problem, to quote the White House, and the civil war that's occurring in Yemen. But the United States sending an aircraft carrier and authorizing the Saudis to fly its aircraft to bomb Yemen is not. So the militarization of the world would be the next greatest calamity. Now, I would say, and this will be a bit of a backtrack, but the core of the world's problems, if you were to say, what is the greatest threat to humanity? The greatest apparent threat is Islam. The second greatest apparent threat is the militarization of the world and the world's propensity to use military hardware, particularly the United States, is deploying it and selling it. And, you know, you could put in there number three, fiat currency, wealth redistribution, socialism, communism, and banking, and using devaluing currency, which devalues people's savings and their work, to reward failure and to punish success, that economic scheme would be the third greatest threat to humanity. So economic schemes that punish success, reward failure, and use a fiat system to devalue people's work and to devalue their savings, all while encouraging people to be dependent, bankrupting nations, is the third greatest threat. After the militarization of humankind, after the grave threat that is Islam. But there is a threat to the world that actually underlies each of these, that may be a bigger threat than any of those are individually. And that's creating a national religion, of which Earth Day is its most important holiday, because the Earth is the Mother Goddess. She is our source of life. She is our spaceship. We are all dependent on Mother Earth, and yet we're hurting her with our policies, they would say. We need to save Mother Earth, as her priests and priestesses, he will say. Well, socialist secular humanism is the single greatest underwriting threat to the world, undermining our ability to deal with Islam, with the militarization of the world, and the bankrupt economic policies of wealth redistribution, of communism, and fascism that are engulfing economic progress, swallowing it whole. It is a threat because it has robbed people academically, politically, religiously, patriotically, of being able to observe evidence and to evaluate it reasonably so as to come to a valid conclusion. People have been misguided regarding the nature of Islam and its threat because of political correctness. They can't process the information, so they cling to invalid opinions as opposed to forming irrefutable conclusions. The same thing is true with militarization of the world. Patriotism has so disoriented them that they're incapable of recognizing that the military has been counterproductive to America and that it does not provide freedom. It does just the opposite. Because of the fact that they may have a car or two in the garage, that they can go to their fast food restaurant and buy a greasy burger and fries, that their economy isn't a sham is beyond them. You know, on this program in the commercials, Ted Anderson, who owns GCN, routinely offers people a silver dollar if they will consider reading a copy of The Creature from Jekyll Island. And I've read it cover to cover several times. There's some valid information in that book, particularly as it describes the creation of America's Federal Reserve. And as it goes through and describes the nature of fiat money. But I don't think there's one person in 1,000 who is capable of understanding and then using in a useful way the Mandrake formula or fractional banking, which dominates the second half of the book. And then the book's solution, which is to return to the gold standard, was written at a time when America's debt was in the billions, not trillions. It's not feasible today. But even if they were to buy it, Mr. Anderson, what do you think the chances of someone who has been indoctrinated in today's schools is going to be able to process it? You know, on this program, I received a month of hell for mocking chemtrails, for marking HAARP, which I think is what that array is in Alaska. For mocking the 9/11 conspiracies, I think it's Building 7 in particular that the conspirators cling to. And I say, you know, if you were capable of using evidence and reason, you would know the positions are laughable. But I can present all the evidence in the world and make all the connections for you. It's not going to do any good if you've been dumbed down to the point that you can't evaluate or won't evaluate evidence and reason. And that's why socialist secular humanism, which has made through academics the masses easy to manipulate, has created the single greatest risk for humankind, which is the vast majority of people can no longer exercise good judgment. They are like sheep led astray by false shepherds. And today, this national religious mantra, this doctrine of socialist secular humanism, which is purely hypocritical, particularly in their, we are going to stand up for hypocrisy. I mean, we're going to stand up against any form of violence and intolerance. And yet they're intolerant of people who are intolerant of what they're promoting. Pure hypocrites. Irrational. Earth Day and this notion that climate change is a great threat is a complete farce. Now, on the last segment of the news, we're going to devote to a recap of where the Earth is in its cycle of warming and cooling periods. It's important that you know that when the President of the United States promotes climate change, that he's lying, and he even knows it. Welcome back to Shattering This. It was a matter of only 2 years ago that the greatest threat to the world was being promoted as global warming. You don't hear that term used very often anymore. And the reason is, for the last 17 years, there has been no global warming. And that's a real concern, because the scientists said that if there were 10 years of no noticeable, appreciable change in the Earth's temperature, that their theory would have been proven wrong. Rather than the ice pack melting away, it is actually advanced. Rather than the Great Lakes and the polar regions being ice-free, there has never been a time, at least in recorded history, where the Great Lakes have frozen as solid or as universally, or that the ice pack has migrated as far south as it has these last 2 to 3 years. We're actually in a peculiar period where the winters are colder. They're longer. They have been for the last 3 years. Now, that's a surprise. And rather than having sea levels rise, when this occurs, sea levels fall. And so they can't promote the myth of global warming anymore and of coastlines being flooded, although they still try to talk about coastlines being flooded as the great calamity of climate change, when the basis for it has been disproven, discredited. Now, in reality, the only thing that we know about warming and cooling periods is in megatrends that have been deduced from exhaustive studies of the Earth's and sediments in the oceans in particular and in lakes over millions of years. And that this notion that we're monitoring the temperature of the Earth, well, that only occurred about a decade ago or so, when we developed the capability of having similarly calibrated temperature measuring implements distributed around the globe, reporting by satellite. Only 10 to 15 years old. That's how long we've had the ability to actually measure temperature change in any meaningful way. And so the whole thing was just a crock. Now, that's not to say that global warming isn't a reality, nor that global cooling isn't a reality. Both are. Exhaustive studies have been conducted and have been published. They are irrefutable. They show that the Little Ice Age, which was so responsible for the upheaval that took place in Europe throughout the throughout the recent history, ended about the time that colonists were fleeing to America. And they were fleeing to America because there was so little hope in Europe. It had become dark, cold. Food production was much worse. We even know that the reason that the bubonic plague, the Black Death, was so pervasive was that it's a strain that still exists today. In Madagascar, the exact same plague exists. But it isn't killing people en masse because they aren't malnourished. And in Europe, they were malnourished because they were in a global cooling period and food production dropped off precipitously. What caused it? People were susceptible to something they would otherwise have been able to fight off. So, we are only warming in the sense that the world is still coming out of the Little Ice Age that ended around 1850 to 1875. That's the reason why Al Gore's book, where he used the retreating glaciers as proof that the Earth is warming, was a deception. Yes, the glaciers are retreating from their position at the end of the Little Ice Age where they had advanced. These periods of global warming and cooling, every study has shown, last anywhere from a minimum of 300 years each on each side to about 750 years on each side. They average about 600 years. And so for 600 years, you have a tapering off of a warming period into the trough of a cooling period and then moving back towards the warming period, but with sub-average temperatures. And then for 600 years, you have the inverse of that, warming to a crescendo and then falling back off to normal. That's where we are.